We got a fun show coming up here today on a Friday. Shark, the Greg Norman documentary, has been released 30 for 30 earlier this week. What would be the best Tennessee-themed 30 for 30? There are a whole lot of options. Plus, John Garcia is going to join the show to talk recruiting. This is your Friday Locked On Vol.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into this edition of Locked On Vols. Hope this finds you doing well as your Friday morning is beginning or whenever you're listening to this. Of course, this is on demand on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. I'm Eric Kane. Glad to have you guys here with me today and every single day. And like I said in the cold open, we've got a whole lot of fun in store for today's show. John Garcia, the director of football recruiting for Sports Illustrated, he's going to join us to talk a little Tennessee recruiting in segments 2 and 3. You guys know I can talk recruiting all day long. But before we get into that, guys, I the Shark 30 for 30 is about to be released. It got us thinking on the morning show over at the starting lineup, the Sports Animal, the starting lineup, TSL in the mornings. That's where my normal job is. Of course, I do this podcast and I write for the Rival Site covering Tennessee. That's at volquest.com. And if you're new to the show, that's a little bit of my background. We got to thinking on the morning show, boy, we make the jokes about it all the time, right? About how you could make a documentary, you can make a 30 for 30, about so much crap that's happened here on Tennessee's campus. And so we had that exercise on the morning show. You can check that podcast out as well, TSL on your Apple podcast feeds and everywhere else. We got some really great participation from social media, for some callers calling in, and for some DMs that are rolling in. I'm still getting some DMs right now at the time of this recording. So a couple of things that came to mind, if they were going to do, if ESPN was going to do a 30 for 30 on Tennessee athletics, there's been so much that's happened in the last 15 or so years, right? And so let's discuss some of the bigger ones that we would love to see one day. Painful memories. Painful at the time, looking back, sure, it's still painful a little bit, but boy, it's time to, you know, look back and say, God, I'd like to learn even more about that, kind of maybe relive it, I don't know, but from an outsider's perspective, it's pure gold, right? I mean, if any of this stuff was going on, like at Auburn this offseason, it's pure gold, right? The night Lane Kiffin left was the first one that was mentioned. I want to say a junior in high school, so, I mean, obviously, I remember it happening, but mattresses burning. He was like 5th, 6th down the list for USC. Has the press conference, quote unquote, where, you know, the news director at WBAR was fighting with then SID Bud Ford about letting cameras roll and all that type of stuff. And let me just say, if I was on the beat, and if that happened nowadays, I would be in the room. And, you know, I don't know what I would have said. I mean, it's wild. I mean, it was wild that night. You know, Monty Kiffin having to spend the night in his office. You know, students, fans taking to the streets, burning mattresses, getting drunk. Just wild to think about. So the night of Lane Kiffin, and really Lane Kiffin's entire year here at Tennessee, that would be fun to take a deep dive into. His coaching staff was incredible. Some of the things that were happening was not so incredible. Would have gotten Tennessee in a whole lot of trouble if he were to stick around. So the night Lane Kiffin left, he rode off into the sunset, or really into the nightfall, I guess, the midnight train, if you will. That is right up there at the list. Another one that Will West brought up on the morning show was the Derek Dooley era and everything that encompassed the Derek Dooley era, all the sound bites, all the confusing coaching hires, the fun offenses, the awful defenses, all that and stuff. That would be down the list for me, quite frankly. My number one, and you could make about 5 or 6 different 30 for 30s out of this, but if you wanted to throw it all into one, how could it not be the 2017 coaching search? You have an athletics director that we love to make fun of at Tennessee, John Curry. To be completely honest with you, he was a good AD. He just fumbled the biggest responsibility of his life. The biggest part of any athletics director's job at the Power 5 level, unless you're at a big time, you know, blue blood basketball institution, it's hiring your football coach because football pays the bills. John Curry brought back the Lady Vols. John Curry hired Tony Vitello. John Curry did some good things. What John Curry didn't do well, that was the 2017 coaching search. all the way from this coach to this coach to this coach to this coach having interest, and then this coach and this coach and this coach and this coach getting a pay raise to stay at their current institutions. Jeff Brohm was hired, folks. I know everybody likes to make fun of Jimmy Himes. Jeff Brohm was hired. He was coming to Tennessee. He was hiring assistants. He was coming to Tennessee. And then the boosters didn't want to pay the, or Tennessee didn't want to pay the buyout, or at least that's what they said. That was that whole saga. You had Shiano Sunday, which could be made into its own 30 for 30 documentary. You had fans sitting out on the steps of the Anderson training facility, chanting and doing all this type of stuff. It was wild. Shiano Sunday was crazy. It simply was. You had the Mike Leach situation where John Curry goes rogue and is up in the air and they're trying to find him and trying to communicate with him, and he's going to get Mike Leach to hire him to be the next football coach, and they can't get a hold of him, essentially telling him to turn around, come home. He is relieved of his duties. And then you have the whole Philip Fulmer aspect of this about behind the scenes, call it what you want, Game of Thrones, politicking, I don't know. I wasn't there, okay? I was fresh on to the Knoxville workforce when all this happened. I mean, that was literally like day, not day, that was probably month three that I was in this realm. Gosh, if I was where I was today, that would have been a whole lot more fun. I was too scared to do anything back then. If I had this podcast during that situation, the numbers would be insane. But you had Phil Fulmer coming back into existence, coming back into the spotlight, becoming Tennessee's athletics director, finding Jeremy Pruitt's, and then all that's said and done. Also, someone reminded me on Twitter this morning, I forgot about the groomers, the John Gruden situation. How did I forget about John Gruden? It was reported that he was at Calhoun's on the River. It was literally reported. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness gracious. Everybody's just super, super, super turned on to get a story out there. That was the 2017 coaching search. So I will, and much like you guys, I will never forget that time in my life, ever. And then you can make one about Jeremy Pruitt's situation, about how Jeremy Pruitt was investigated. You had a ditch, essentially, that was 5 feet deep, but you kept digging and digging and digging and digging and digging just to find something. You found something, kept digging, firing for cause. That whole situation is still not resolved. It's wild right now. So what 30 for 30 in Tennessee athletics history would you want to see? Obviously, the 2017 is number one for me, that coaching search. The Lane Kiffin era slash the night Lane Kiffin left, that would be number two. Pat Summitt, what she meant for not only women's basketball in general, what she meant for Tennessee, what she meant for, you know, East Tennessee and the University of Tennessee, just incredible. But there's been some documentaries out on Pat Summitt, and that's deservingly so. I've gotten a couple other submissions. Alexander Johnson, formerly A.J. Johnson here at Tennessee, star linebacker, the allegations hit, suspended from the team, doesn't get a shot in the NFL, allegations are dropped, he's found not guilty, he goes in, now he's a really, really good player in the National Football League for the Denver Broncos. That's a good one. How about Eric Berry? I had that one lifted up to me or mentioned to me. Not necessarily his time at Tennessee, per se. He was good, All-American, don't get me wrong, but really Eric Berry's life in the NFL. All-pro, pro bowler, has cancer, battles back, is back there, tears his Achilles. I mean, just all the ups and downs of Eric Berry's career would be a good one. Had another good one brought up to me, Tyler Smith. Remember that? Remember that situation whenever Tennessee had to dismiss three members of its basketball program? What about Bruce Pearl getting that team to the Elite Eight? There's a number of areas, and of course, I haven't even touched the teams of the early 2000s and of the 1990s because, I mean, quite frankly, I'm too young. So which Tennessee story, which Tennessee era, which Tennessee team would you like to see ESPN do a 30 for 34? Because, I mean, guys, there's plenty here. There is plenty here. It's fun to discuss. We would all pay the price of admission to watch a 30 for 30 on any of the stuff that we've been talking about here so far on the show. It's straight up wild. So I'll leave it there. You guys can tweet me. You guys can hit me up. Which Tennessee story over the last, I mean, it can be from whenever, but really, you know, the ones I've been given examples for the last, you know, 15 to 20 years, would you like to see made into an ESPN 30 for 30? Something to think about. It's not great that we have this much ammunition, but as Will West again pointed out on the morning show, Thursday morning, it just goes to show you how good of a spot Tennessee is in right now with Dante Plowman, Randy Boyd, and now Danny White as the new athletics director. Tennessee is in some good harmony all across the board in terms of its athletics department as a whole. So something to think about. Hey, we're going to have John Garcia join us for the next two segments as we finish off this Friday show. Tennessee on a roll in recruiting right now. The director of recruiting at Sports Illustrated, John Garcia, will join us next here on Locked On Vols. But first, let me tell you about Built Bar. You guys know it. You guys are ribbing me on the YouTube comments. You love the Built Bars, all right? Swimsuit season's right around the corner. Look your best. We all want to take that shirt off and flex the biceps and the traps and the, you know, the glutes and all that. Well, I'm maybe getting a little away from us there talking about the glutes. But hey, swimsuit season is here, okay? Pool season, lake season, river season, beach season. If you want to look your best, take your small step in looking your best, substitute some of those unhealthy snacks like the candy bars for a Built Bar infused with 17 grams of protein, 4 grams of net sugar, 4 net carbs, and usually only around 130 calories compared to a candy bar that's 240 calories. Tons and tons of selections like the new Puff Bars, but you've got white chocolate cookies and cream, you got coconut almond, you got mint brownie, you got straight coconut. Chances are, if they think it'll taste good, they're going to create it. And you can find all those and more at Built.com. While you're there, Built.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is at Built.com. Welcome back into your Friday edition of Locked On Vols. Plenty to discuss around the hill right now, and a lot of that has to do with recruiting. Tennessee is on a roll, and now to bring us some knowledge on that subject is the director of football recruiting for SI, and his name is John Garcia Jr. John, what's going on, man?
I'm doing well, Eric. Just keeping up with the Vols, man. It's really ramping up, and I think there's a lot of buzz in Knoxville right now that you could feel no matter where you're at, you know, nationally. And I think that's a good thing usually for college football.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I wanted to start the conversation. Josh Heupel now entering year number two here at Tennessee. Yeah, he was so far behind the eight ball last year, got hired at the end of January. His staff was not in place until the end of February, right up before, you know, spring practice began. So with that class of 2022, just it was a tremendous in-state class that went to waste. He only brought in 2 in-state commits. But this year is a different story. You got 8 commits so far for the class of 2023, 5 of which coming from the in-state. And just a couple days ago, probably the number one player ranked in the state by most publications, number 2 per Rivals where I'm at, is Caleb Herring. And I think he's a phenomenal talent. But nonetheless, Josh Heupel's been rolling in-state here lately.
Yeah, and that's what you really – when you start to judge a recruiter as a head coach, I mean, it really is that first – full cycle. Obviously, you know, with the coaching carousel, really the last 2 years, everybody's just been trying to like patch things together, throw in the pandemic, throw in the portal. And it's just been like an NFL style roster management system. But certainly this year, we're going to get a much better scope of Josh Heupel as a head coach recruiter. And yeah, the state of Tennessee is really strong in the class of 2023. And I thought Caleb Herring was the best get, you know, best non-quarterback get, I guess, so far. For Tennessee, just a ferocious edge defender that's got that frame that you can mold and build into what you want down the line. But yeah, this class is really strong in the state of Tennessee. So naturally, the Vols are reflective of that with 5 Robo commits. And there's probably, I mean, you might know better than me. There's probably 2, 3, 4 more guys that we can start to look at and say, okay, like this is a really strong possibility as well. You know, it's a good receiver class, good O-line class, 2 positions that the Vols actually, you know, need in this 23 cycle. So I do think that lines up quite nicely for Heupel and company. And I also think that the buzz off of the on-field product of year one certainly is still there. You know, when you talk about the SEC East, it's like wide open, right? You know, what is Georgia going to look like, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, replacing all those, you know, guys who are about to get drafted in the first round. And then after that, it's like, you know, question marks at Florida, transition coaching staff. Can Kentucky maintain with their attrition in the coaching staff? I mean, Tennessee is right there in the East perceptionally. And I think that's really strong for recruiting because the Vols haven't been quite there going into a season for a few years.
Yeah, I mean, I think the East is there for the taking. Let me step back. Georgia's going to win the East this year. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But in terms of taking a step, getting, you know, from the lower, you know, part of that second tier, in my opinion, to where you were last year, to getting up there right to being the second place team in the SEC East in year 2 for Josh Heupel. I think that's all in front of him. You mentioned Florida's down, new coaching staff, won't be down for long. Vanderbilt's at the bottom, Missouri. I'm not buying stock in them. We'll see about South Carolina. But I'm not going to, you know, put them in this conversation just yet. Kentucky is a good ball club. So I think that that would be Tennessee's best or, you know, biggest competition, like, in this regard. We're going to get to the, obviously, when we talk Tennessee recruiting, you know, Nico is, you know, Iamaliava is where we're going to discuss. But, you know, real quick, let's go back to Caleb Herring. His brother, Elijah Herring, was one of the two in-state, you know, gets for Josh Heupel a cycle ago. Many people at the time thought you're taking Elijah just to get Caleb. They've really started to really like Elijah, had a great spring practice. I think both Herring brothers could be a staple for the Tennessee defense here a couple of years from now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think they're a little bit different. You know, they're built similarly in terms of their height, weight, speed. Obviously, they're only 1 year apart. But I think Elijah gives you a little bit more position flexibility. I think he can be a traditional inside guy or bulk up and be a primary pass rusher. And I think Caleb is absolutely a pass rush first guy. Like, you don't even want to try to move him anywhere else because of his skill set there and how dynamic he is off the edge. But you need that versatility. You need to be able to drop your hips and get into coverage or play some traditional linebacker, because in this day and age, Eric, and you know this, everything with spread football, you know, is blurring the positions in general. Mm-hmm. So if you're like a jack linebacker, you're like a jack of all trades, right? You need to be able to rush the passer, drop back in coverage, play the run, use your run fit, play the gaps, watch the line. So you still have to do those classic linebacker principles. And I think Elijah's a little bit more built for that, as opposed to where, you know, the newest commitment is really just like, scream off the edge, Caleb, like, go get the quarterback and we'll figure it out later.
Yeah, and Caleb can play in space as well. You see that on his tape too, but I'm with you. Add 20, 30, you know, 20, 30 pounds, he can afford it, and then he'll be a nice little player here at this level. Tennessee's hauled in, three commits in the past 10 days, all three have been from the in-state. Another one I want to discuss is Trevor Duncan of Knoxville Catholic. I want to get your thoughts on this. I've been describing him as a lineman just because Tennessee might put him on defense, might put him on offense. He's a good defensive player. His tape is teachable, in my opinion, there at the edge. But for me, he screams offensive tackle. How do you see Trevor Duncan?
Which is, when you see him, you're it's like striking how big and like put together he is. I saw him in person late last year for Knox Catholic. And you just, he looks like a college borderline NFL combine prospect right now, just like physically put together. And usually that means your floor is on defense, but your ceiling is on offense. And I agree with you there, Eric. I just think that the length and the broad shoulders just play to that left tackle position. And he's got some defensive line mentality that helps you on the O-line when it comes to run blocking and things like that. I just think lineman's a good label, but I think long-term, I mean, you're building him to play on the offensive line, and he could be your left tackle down the line. I like the way that he moves. He's laterally strong, extremely long as well. I mean, just so many traits that really, you know, liken you to the offensive line. Doesn't mean he can't be a good defensive lineman, but he'd probably be more of an interior guy, you know, a gap occupier, edge setter type. But there's a lot more value if you can move him over to offense and keep him there long term. We actually talked to a couple of his position coaches after that game, and we're like, hey man, like, are you going to tell him? Are you going to tell him that he's an offensive tackle down the line? And they're like, look, we've been telling him. It's just a matter of him buying into it. But they are confident, and so am I. Once he does buy into it at the next level, that he won't look back.
Yeah, I remember I was on the sideline. You know, we put a couple of games on TV for Knoxville Catholic this year, and I went just to, you know, scout a couple of games, looked at Academy when they were in town. And I was talking with the head coach, Corey Mobbs. I turned to him. I said, hey, that guy's a player. And he said, he's going to make a lot of money playing off at the tackle one day. So I think everybody knows. It's just a matter of him buying into it, like you said. Last thing here before we come back and we don't bury the lead anymore, and we'll talk Nico here in segment three. Nathan Robinson, early last week, you know, went ahead and pledged his allegiance to Tennessee. He's a linebacker, but this offseason he has put on about 40 pounds. He is going to be, in my opinion, a pretty stout a defensive lineman down the road. Just his ability to put on weight, he's super athletic. He's not going to play much linebacker, I don't believe, even as a senior this fall. But that was another one that Rodney Garner really was salivating over and wanted to get him aboard, and they were able to get his commitment.
Well, and that's something that Rodney's done time and time again, right? Getting guys who have bulked up and play a new position. We talked about it with the Herring brothers earlier and how these positions have become blurred. But if you can put on weight and maintain some of that quick twitch that made you a rock solid linebacker, I mean, that just screams defensive line in this day and age. You can be well under, you know, 275 pounds and make a true impact on the defensive interior. And if you can develop, and Rodney Gardner is known for developing, if you can develop interior pass rushers, I mean, your defense completely changes. And I think when you start to put all those pieces together, pairing with Coach Gardner as well, I think that's where Nathan's ceiling is going to ultimately be, because he does have a lot of those great linebacker instincts. So you can pair that a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, where you do some of those same things, right? You still have to play the flow of the line, but you still have to use your hands. You still have to play leverage. You still have to go a half man or full man, depending on the responsibility of the assignment. And I think some of those same principles can translate over and make him a little bit even more effective as an interior pass rusher down the line. But love the fit, and I love that he's put on good weight, because we've seen a lot of kids put on weight, right? Walter Nola put on weight, but it wasn't always good weight. So put on good weight, and then show us a preview as a senior. So I think we'll get that from him, and I think the opinion surrounding his game will probably collectively elevate from there.
Awesome stuff here from John Garcia. He's going to hang out. We're going to talk Nico and more here in segment number three. Real quick, though, Bet Online. What a great time to be a sports fan. You got the NBA playoffs going on. Major League Baseball just got going. You got some majors that just wrapped up in golf with more to come. And you can get in on all that action at betonline.net. The latest sport in every sport development, league reviews and news, including this year's, again, the playoffs, baseball season just starting. It's your continued source, that being betonline.net, for all your sports wagering information, from live bettings to playoffs to esports to reality television as well. Right now, you can head on over to the website today, get in that action. You can also do it on your mobile device, learn more about the latest trends and all the actions. You guys know I'm big on futures. Get in your futures today at betonline.net. Betonline.net, it is where the game starts. About to tie a bow here on this edition, this week rather, of Locked On Vols. I'm Eric Kane, your host, and we're bringing back onto the program John Garcia. John is doing an awesome job, loving the conversation so far today. He's the director of football recruiting for Sports Illustrated, college football recruiting analyst for SI Now, and we're talking Tennessee recruiting and everything else. I wanted to wait so we could get into a bigger discussion. I mean, all the buzz around college recruiting really right now, until I would say Arch Manning goes somewhere, is, you know, Nico Iamaleava electing to come to Tennessee. Really liking what Joey Halsey, Alex Golish, of course, Josh Heupel. We know name, image, and likeness is a factor there. But what a statement get for Josh Heupel in year number two, a quarterback that could potentially change the direction of the program for many years to come.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of Tennessee fans wondering, you know, is this the biggest recruit since? And then the names coming after that are names that the whole world knows in football. So if you're even in that discussion and conversation, it says a lot about perception. And Eric, you know, perception in recruiting is such a big deal. So to go out in California to get a national quarterback recruit, a top five type guy in a year that we were going to look back on 5-10 years from now and say, this class of 2023 was unbelievable at quarterback. To get one of those top guys, I think says a ton about Tennessee. And what I really like about the shift to Nico, because look, initially everybody was in the Arch Manning sweepstakes, right? But the schools that had that self-awareness, which is another critical factor in recruiting, and said, we need to move on here to XYZ. Tennessee was one of the first to do that. And they went all in on Nico end of last year into this year. And Nico felt it. He felt it because everyone else was playing, you know, let's keep every kid warm. And the schools that have said, you know what, screw it, let's move forward, are the schools that have capitalized in quarterback recruiting. And Tennessee was the first one to do it. Nico felt it. He talked to me the first time I ever talked to him about Tennessee. He's like, man, I got to Knoxville and I'm like signing autographs. He was like, it was the first autograph I ever signed was in Knoxville. He was like, I never thought I'd be in Tennessee signing autographs for people. And like, I'm not even committed yet. You know, this was like last fall. It was like November. And he was just so blown away that the people cared. So obviously he got that splash of SEC country and the fandom and even the pageantry. And he was hooked. He was hooked. He started like planning multiple visits after that. And it really just became a matter of when and not if he'd verbally commit. So, you know, he's the exception to the rule where it's like, hey, fans, like, don't tweet recruits and, you know, don't worry about it. Let the coaches handle it. Like, Nico's going to be the counterpoint to that when these Twitter battles roll on, and Vol Twitter's, you know, about as fun as it gets online. But this is a statement get personality-wise, geographically, but also skill set-wise, where it matters most. I mean, 6'5", 200 pounds, massive arm. Everyone's seen probably multiple viral throws that Nico has made over the last 12 months. And he's had this upward trajectory where his sophomore year was good, junior year he boomed. So now let's see how he follows it up as a senior, where all of us are expecting him to do huge things. So like the trajectory of Nico, like where his game is at, but even more for Vol fans, I like what the buzz and the perception does in elevating, all of the perception around UT.
Yeah, it was that Vanderbilt game in early November when he came to town first, and I caught up with him, leaving that night, and he just couldn't stop smiling. And you knew something was big on there. I remember talking to his dad even before then, saying, "Hey, we're going to be out there. We're trying to get out there. It's just, tough logistically when we can get out there." And I think it just took one time, brought his mom and his family back the next time, and it was over from there. So I think Tennessee fans deserve a lot of praise for that one. Real quick, got a couple more questions for you, but Tennessee's quarterbacks, Nico Iamaleava, they are set on that, excited. But when you have Peyton Manning, you have the word Manning everywhere on campus and really the state of Tennessee. Got to wonder about Arch. This is what you do for a living. You develop talent, you scout talent, all this. What do you think of Arch Manning? And, I'm not trying to say compare the two because Tennessee's fine where they are, but everybody's going to say, what about Arch Manning? Why didn't Tennessee try to go get Arch Manning?
Well, they did try, initially. And I think that's where the self-awareness of, hey, like, we need to move on here. It's either going to take too long, which, I think this is going to happen for every other school, or, we might not be in that top group. And no matter how you make that decision, when you decide to move on, I think was critical here. And that's why you have Nico on the commitment list. Other schools, whether it's Georgia, Alabama, Texas, certainly, if they miss on Arch, they're screwed at quarterback. Yep. And they're going to have to reset the entire recruiting board and try to either flip someone else, portal, whatever it's going to be. Tennessee didn't live in that boat. But, yeah, look, Arch Manning's the elephant in everybody's room at this point in recruiting. He's handled the process in a unique way in terms of how he is basically controlled and covered up by the family. And I think that created a lot of tension in those trying to figure out just where they do stand, right? I mean, they're saying all the right things. There's no list of top schools. There's no schools being eliminated for the most part. Maybe Clemson was. So I think that created just an urgency elsewhere for the teams that were, ballsy enough to say, hey, I need to move on. But look, it's not for a lack of talent with Arch Manning. He's got a 4-year starter resume. Obviously, the bloodlines here, the DNA is screams quarterback. This is the first family of quarterbacking and football simultaneously. He does have the knowledge base you would expect him to have. And athletically, he's grown steadily. He's not as tall as Nico, but he's getting close. 6'4", good athlete, good arm. I would say Nico's arm is ahead of him at this point, but Manning is much more polished and technically sound relative to Nico's game, which is still in more raw compared to the other top quarterbacks in this class of 2023. So it's a yin versus yang, floor versus ceiling kind of comparison between the two. But obviously Tennessee initially inquired about Arch Manning. And, the first assignment I did at SI was Arch's freshman year. They're like, hey, there's this guy, Arch Manning. We need you to voice over this piece that we're doing. We're profiling him. And I'm like, already? I mean, he's a freshman. And the first school we talked about was Tennessee. And the second one was Ole Miss. This was, 3 years ago. So Tennessee's always been in the conversation. You went through a coaching change, and there's still a lot of questions to be answered by Josh Heupel just in terms of stability and long-term, but obviously it's year two, so you can only answer so many of them at this point. So a lot of factors go into these things, which is why, again, I praise that staff for having the self-awareness to move on and land an elite guy who is just as good or maybe long-term has the potential to be even better than Arch. I'm not going to say better than his uncle, but we never know, right? We never know.
All right, man. Last thing, we'll wrap things up here. Great stuff here from John Garcia, the director of recruiting for Sports Illustrated. Tennessee's got 8 commits. There's going to be more coming. I've said it all along. April, it's going to be a good month for Tennessee, and it's already been a pretty good month, and I don't think that they're done here in this month. Depending on where you look, top 10 recruiting class in the country right now, pretty much across the board. Missed out on Kyler Casper, decides to reclassify, go to Oregon. Tennessee's still in the running for Carnell Tate, the 5-star receiver from IMG, of course. There's a lot of other powers in that one to play. Who are some big names that you see potentially being, big-time contenders for the Vols in this class? And then, obviously, the transfer portal, Tennessee needs help with wide receiver and maybe a defensive lineman this offseason.
Yeah, I think the portal, we're going to see another influx of names in the transfer portal. There's already a bunch of good Power 5 type players in there now, and we're starting to see them come off the board, but the next wave is about to jump in there because this is the last big spring game weekend here coming up. So I think we'll see some new names for Tennessee to potentially target. But yeah, on the high school front, wide receiver is a huge need, and that's why, again, getting a guy like Nico on board early is important because he has a relationship with Carnell Tate, and other wide receivers know him. They've seen the viral throws if we've seen the viral throws, and they say, hey, that might be a guy I want to play with. So I expect this receiver class to grow in relatively short order, but if you can get a headliner like a Carnell Tate, my goodness, it just changes, again, the perception of what you can do at Tennessee, because you're talking about beating Ohio State for a wide receiver, which, you know, alone says a lot. There's been a lot of linking to him with Notre Dame. Other schools are trying to get in it here, but Tennessee's got a ton of buzz with Carnell, and we're hearing that he might want to get things accelerated a little bit with the decision-making process, which I think would play very well for the Vols. So I think the receiver class will be good. I'm looking to see more O linemen jump in here. You know, there's a couple good ones in state. You know, Bryson Sanders probably the closest to making a decision, and depending on when you talk to him, you get a Vol feel, you get an Ole Miss feel, depending. Yeah. You know, he's taken that visit already, or he's taken both visits already here recently. So we'll see how that goes when he takes his other trips. But he wants to commit in the month of June. So I think that could be a potential option for Tennessee, another in-state guy. But going back to the quarterbacks to wrap up, Eric, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the state of Tennessee quarterbacks compare to Nico down the line, because it happened to be this rare year in Tennessee where – it's kind of loaded at quarterback, right? Marcel Reed's a good player. Brock Glenn's a really good player. Parsons already committed to Florida State. So it'll be interesting to see how those quarterbacks eventually compare to Nico with wherever they end up, because it just happened to be a great year in state. But again, the mark of a great program is going nationally, regardless of what you got in the home state. So another plus for me with Josh Heupel.
And Tennessee certainly is the talk around college football, especially college football recruiting, for many different reasons. Josh Heupel seems to really be taking a step forward here in year number two for Tennessee. John, awesome stuff, man. Where can our listeners find more of your work on recruiting and just about everything else?
Yeah, Sports Illustrated or SI.com/college for all the football and basketball content. And then my handle is right there, John_Garcia_JR. Thanks for putting it up there for me.
Of course, man. Hey, we're going to have you back on. This was awesome. So I appreciate it, and have a good weekend. All right.
Sounds good, Eric. Thank you.
All right. John Garcia Jr., the director of football recruiting for Sports Illustrated, college football recruiting analyst for SI Now. That was some really good stuff. I'm not going to lie to you. He's off now. He can't hear me. I was a little hesitant about bringing him on because I cover recruiting, you know, I mean, it's what I do. It's one of my jobs. But it's fine. I mean, I'm not saying I know everything. He was fantastic. I just, it's always good to have conversations even with people at different outlets. And so a little hesitant, but I'm glad I did it because he was really good. And, if you guys like him, we'll have him back on the show. I mean, he's a Locked On insider now, so we can get him literally whenever. So let me know what you think. I thought he was fantastic. And of course, all you guys want to know more about recruiting all the time, that guy wakes up and does it every minute of every day. I just do it, you know, about half the day, if you want to call it that. Hey, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Vols. Awesome stuff. Good show. 30 for 30. What Tennessee crazy event do you want to see turned into a 30 for 30 documentary? We got plenty to choose from here on the Hill. Plus, great stuff there from John Garcia. Props to Zach, our channel manager, David Locke, of course, the head man, everybody over at Locked On for making that insider a thing here for us college guys. And I look forward to using him in the future as well. Guys, thank you so much. Check out the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Just, you know, days away, hoping to have Matthew Butler on the show next week again. We had him back on prior to the combine. But Eric Crocker, Ryan Tracy, they bring the NFL draft to life every single day. Where could the VFLs go? Maybe they can tell you. Listen to the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. That's your second listen, right behind Locked On Vols, which is your first listen each and every week. That'll do it, guys. Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. And we will talk again on Monday, everybody.